I had a discussion once with a fellow who thought he was discovered, thought I wasn't. And one of the things he pointed out to me was, or tried to, he said this. He said, well, you know, the changes, the differences between the Texas Receptus and the Destin Free Text, or the Westcott Horn Text, he said, basically, if you put it all on one page, he said, it would take about one or maybe two full pages, and there's really not that much difference. Now, they like to say that because they like to say, gee, what are you getting excited over? You know, there's only about a page or two, what are you getting excited over? And my response to him was very simple. I said, this, I said, you're right. I'm even spiritual Judo. I don't always try to block the punch. I like to grab a guy out of the room and throw across the room, you know? And so I said, you're right. But when I said, you were right, he just kind of grinned. And I said, well, we're not talking about A's and N's and B's and buts. I said, we're talking about things like the deity of Christ the salvation of people and just all kinds of virgin birth and the ascension. And I said, so that page of changes are almost every change in a major doctrine. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you 15 verses that are changed in the Bible. Okay, now, please understand that these verses will not be changed. Now, you're going to find that all 15 of these have been changed in every version you pick up. In other words, you may pick up a version that has 10 of these changed and 15 by the whole thing. But what I'm saying is, if it changes one of them, you've got a problem. All right? And so what I'm going to give you is, I'm just going to give you some things to judge by, all right? Now, the first one, and I won't go into depth on this because you were here. That is Acts chapter 12, verses 3 and 4, the translation of Easter. Now, as you folks were here for that discourse on the translation of Easter and whether it's a proper translation, but let me simply say this. Now, you better understand, you know, back 3, all this stuff. If you can't get past that, we're already done. Yeah.
Right.
Okay, you're already done. I wouldn't be excited about going to the doctor this conversation I've heard the next. I wouldn't be excited if the guy only had one patient and that guy came out paralyzed after surgery. I don't know if I would work in a second. Okay? And so you don't say, well, gee, you know, sure, it's wrong here, it's wrong here. It's not like saying, you know, my husband is a bad man, and, he's only on film, and he only takes his women. But he doesn't smoke, he doesn't know where he goes. So he's only got a little bit of bad in his mind.
Right.
And we'll go with that, okay? It's kind of like they see perfect. So if you want to check out a book, or if you want to check out a man, that's where you do it. Okay? Now what I mean is, the tools of any Bible, and if it changes Easter to Passover, then you have got a messed up Bible. I don't care if the next 14 of them are straight and we got King James. If they change that one, you've got a problem, okay? Now, the reason I said you can check out a Bible for a man is because this is what will separate men from boys as far as who is King James Bible and who is not. You will find all kinds of Bible colleges that will stand up and say, Where's King James? Yes, sir. We are going to the King James Bible here. And there'll be all kinds of guys that will stand up. Listen, I've heard them stand up. And they'll pick up the Word of God. And they'll say, I believe this is the Word of God. This is God. It's not the Word of God. Make sure there. And in the pulpit, it sounds great.
Okay.
And I know one of those men, I mentioned his name. He is known as a proponent of the King James Bible. And I'll mention his name, you already met him. Does that fellow step out a little bit? Put his arm around kind of like this for a second. Well, you do understand that Easter in Acts chapter 12, verse 4 is a mistranslation. So that's what you do. You say, well, how do I know? I'm going to this church. No. How do I know if this preacher is King James? How do I know? Ask him that. You say, well, what do you say? Well, you don't ask him. You want to find out? Ask him that. Ask him if he's good for proper translations. Now, what that challenges is the reliability. Of Scripture. Okay? That attacks the reliability of Scripture. It says that it is a mistranslation. trouble if you will look at his stomach.
Believe it or not, they attack this one.
John 3:16. The word that is begotten.
Yeah, right.
Right? And what they'll say to that too is they'll say that, they'll say his only son, or his unique son, or his one-of-a-kind son, really.
Yeah.
I told you, I said, you know, Jesus Christ could have been born with what I had put before him. I said, that would have been unique.
Right.
Right?
Right.
That would have been very unique. But that's the God that made him go to become the Son of God. And so what they'll say is they'll say he was the, if you get the most virgin, they'll say, for God loved the world so much that he gave his only son. Wait a minute. How many of you are saved?
Amen.
The Bible says that as many as received him, they'll get power to become what?
The
sons of God.
Yeah.
All right, so once again, you have a problem. I'm the Son of God.
Amen.
I'm the Son of God by adoption, though. There's only ever been one begotten.
Amen.
There's only been one begotten Son of God, and that is Jesus Christ. Now, here's the amazing thing about this. All this sales pitch. You think these guys were sincere? Well, they talk about how, well, we just want a good translation, you know. We don't want any of those, you know, the King James does a bad translation. Watch this. You know what the God tells across the street? It doesn't work. Monogenes is a compound word. Mono. What's mono? You have a stereo, or if your records are stereo, or mono, or what's mono mean? You have a train that runs on one track. It's a mono rail. What's it?
One.
Denace comes from Genesis. All right. What this means is only generated. Denace in Greek is the word for beget, or to be beget. So this is only begotten. In Greek, that's what that is. Only begotten. You can't translate that only without ignoring half of the word. How did you go around treating your mouth off about how you were given to somebody a reliable translation, a perfect title, or anything else, when you just didn't choose it? Or when you translate it, you say, why don't you do it? Well, they don't like that view of Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son, that's why.
Yeah.
Again, that attacks the accuracy of Scripture. Now, you know it's like I said. We're not talking about little M's and B's and butts or anything like that. Here's one. John chapter 18, verse 36. The word back here is the word now. That is where Jesus Christ is standing before Pilate. Pilate says, you're the king of Jews. Are you a king? He says, my name is not now of this world, therefore my kingdom of this world, then with my servant's might, but now my kingdom is not of this world. That's what he says.
Yeah.
What they do in the numeric standard here, they take the Greek word, not the pagan word, now, out of that verse. Now, if you want to change the meaning of the word, go ahead and say the word now. If I ask Pastor Stevens, I'll say, when he's leaving, he'll say, I am not leaving now. What does that mean? That tells me he is going to leave, but he's not leaving right now. What about saying now? I am not leaving. The night man is going to be in here for what's on him. So he's stuck here permanently if we take the word now out of sentence.
Right.
Well, in that verse, Jesus Christ says, my kingdom is not now. Okay. You know what he's saying? He's saying my kingdom is going to be here, but not now. Here's the amazing thing, folks. The Greek word for now is new epsilon new. That's how it's pronounced. You know that word right there is in every Greek manuscript that they have in any town. John chapter 18, verse 36. Every pack of fragments, every manuscript, everything that they have that has John chapter 18, verse 36, it's not even disputed from a single verse from now. It's not even disputed. You say, well, how come we have translated? Because somebody doesn't believe or doesn't like the idea of Jesus Christ having the kingdom of this place.
Amen.
So what does it attack? It attacks the kingship. Of Jesus Christ. That was a real good I'm a radio teacher.
Yeah.
He came up there and said, I'm going up there. Let's just see what I'm going to think of. We're in the war. I picked up an advertisement for a magazine, and it says there's been 400 wars since 1945. You don't have 1945. Well, that was the year that they wrote out the chart. The United Nations killed that ninth organization to stop all wars.
Right.
400 of them. 400 of them in 44 years. My goodness, man, that's more than 10. That's more than 10 years. That's crazy, man. And so they're going to bring in peace, and they're going to stop AIDS, and they're going to do away with smallpox and everything else. Of course, they can't cure the common cold.
Yeah.
But they don't want Jesus Christ to play with. All right? Here's another one. Luke chapter 23, verse 42. And this is more. Jesus, look there, if you will. Luke chapter 23. I'm looking at the New International Version. I'm trying to use it as best I can because it is either surpassed the New International Version and the Atomic Preacher. The numeric Standard Version is a... Now this is a message Greek text, and this is the this is corrupt. This is no good. Okay, this is the 23rd edition of the message Greek text. This translated into English is the New American Standard Bible. In fact, I don't even know what it says. They say it right in here, but it comes from the 23rd edition. But this is the Message Greek, that's 23rd edition. Alright? The 26th edition, translated into English, is the International Version. Okay? And what they did between the 23rd and the 26th edition is they put a bunch of King James readings back in. So with this one, this New International, will have some readings that the New American Standard will not. So because it's just a little closer to King James, more guys are using it. So I'm trying to use it to show you that it still has a bunch of stuff around. Now the Bible says you get saved when you confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, Lord of God. He says you're going to be asking for eternal life, and that's how it says. The Bible says, in fact, we're going to go to Exodus right in this minute, but either the first chapter, I'll just say 5 verse 4, 14, 5 verse 4, 4 verse 15, 5 verse 4. In 1 John, it tells you who you know the world that you believe in Jesus Christ is the Son of God. From Jesus is the Son of God. Now, here's the two that I get through your head. A Jew believes in Christ. And he believes in the Lord. He didn't have any problems. He also believes that there was a man named Jesus who lived. He believes that. You know where a Jew has a problem? Saying that this man is Christ the Lord. When you get a Jew to admit that this man Jesus is Christ the Lord, you got saved too. If you look at Acts chapter 17, verse 1, when Paul went to Thessalonica, said he went into the synagogue, as his manner was, and preached unto them a threefold message, that Christ must be to suffer. And rose again. Alright, you say, okay, I can say then 2 points. And then he says, and it is Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. Now that word you have trouble. That's why at the end of Acts chapter 18, where Paul comes in first preaching, that's the word generation by John. He ends up proving to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ in verse 26, 28. So we're going to there. So here's what you got in Acts chapter, in Luke chapter 23. You have the Lord on the cross, and beside him is the man that we know as the repentant thief. And in verse 42 it says, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. That was the first man ever born in Scripture that ever called in the name of the Lord. He looked at Jesus, the man, and called him Lord.
Amen.
What happened to Luke in Luke chapter 23, of verse 42 of the New International? Then he remember me when you come in your kingdom. No more did they remove Lord. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me. They just had, and he said, Jesus, remember me. So, when you have knocked out, you got salvation knocked out. See, one of the amazing things, one of the things these guys like to say is, well, you still need to make Christ before you. That's right. But you know what you do? You know that? You don't got examples of people being saved in this world. You see, one of the amazing things these guys like to say is, well, you still need to make Christ before you. That's right. But you know what you do? You don't got examples of people being saved in this world. Now, just a moment. Sorry? We looked at this the other night. I won't go back into it. But Luke chapter 24, verse 51. Carried up into heaven in a new American Standard Version and carried up into heaven is missing. It's missing several other versions. And so Jesus Christ does not ascend into heaven. So, another major Bible doctrine goes on way. What I said, to notice it's not these and ands and buts and maybes. We talk about doctrine.
Amen. Good preacher.
Here's what's pretty simple. You've heard it, maybe again. In Luke chapter 2, in verse 33, you may as well go there, because I'll show you something in the text. Because I'm going to show you their argument against our argument, and so we'll take their argument back apart. Luke chapter 22 and verse 33. Your Bible says, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. What about Jesus Christ? Now, who was Jesus' father? Who was Jesus' father? God, right? God was for Joseph, Jesus' father. No, Joseph was not. Therefore, now, what you need to notice is, this is in the middle of the narrative. Right? The narrative comes directly from the Holy Spirit. Alright, look what it's got in this one. In the New International Version, chapter 2, verse 33, the child's father and mother marveled at what was said by him. So, in the New International Version, the virgin birth is attacked. Now here's what they'll point out to you. They'll take your King James Bible and they'll say this. Verse 48, they'll say, what you made a big deal on verse 33? But look at verse 48. When they saw him, they were amazed, and the father said to his son, why dost thou help us with us to hold thy father, right? Sought thee sorrow. They'll say, now see, your King James Bible calls Joseph's father. Stop. No, it doesn't. Mary said that.
Right.
He got Mary's words recorded. The fact that Jesus Christ never accepted that is evident in the very next verse. The next verse, he says this. And he said to them, how is it that you sought me, which did not, I must be about my father's business? Well, Joseph was a carpenter. Joseph had no business in the temple. Jesus was in the temple arguing scripture with the doctors, okay? So Jesus was about his father's business. So immediately when Mary said something that was not right, Jesus Christ rebuked her and straightened her out.
Yeah.
So your Bible says that as Mary saying, your father and I sought thee, that's no problem. That is just a record of what Mary said, and you've got Jesus straightening her out. Back in verse 33, you've got the Holy Spirit giving you a narrative. And the Holy Spirit will drop a ball on you today. So the Holy Spirit knows that Joseph is not Jesus' father. All right. We looked at this the other day, so again. Acts chapter 3, verses 13 and 26. Chapter 4, verses 27 and 30. And they removed son and child and replaced it with servant. That attacks the sonship of Jesus Christ. All right. Now, I showed you the stuff on that. I showed you the Greek word kaina and how, you know, what was the Greek word for son, and what was the Greek word for child, and what was the Greek word for servant, theos, and tekna, and doulos. And Pilate, Church of John chapter 4, verse 51, where David took Pilate and translated his son. Right now, go with it, and we'll Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. How much preacher come up? Acts chapter 8 right here. All right, now, I'm going to read Acts chapter 8, verses 36, 37, and 38 in our Bible. And as they went on their way, they came under a certain water, and he said, Jesus, here is water. What does it hinder you? Have you got time? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down, both through the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and baptized him. All right, we'll read off verse 36, and then we'll get verse 37, read it off, and then verse 38. Acts chapter 37. Is there 37 in there?
No.
You see that? Yes, yes. They know it's the 37 out, but they left the hole where they could fail. The number goes, the verses are numbered 33, 34, 35, 36, 38, 39. Now, look, I got a couple of kids who got it for the translators of the New National Version can't count 40, because when they count 40, they miss number 37. What did they just miss? They just missed the salvation. Right? Ethiopian eunuch does not get saved in the New National Version. Once again, let me say this. Well, see, I can still believe in Christ in the New National Version. Yeah, but you can hardly find it if I get saved in it. The people on the cross didn't get saved. And the eunuch didn't get saved, and okay, somebody else has never got saved in the New International Version, the Apostle Paul. In the New International Version, the Apostle Paul goes to hell. In Acts chapter 9, verse 5 and 6, alright? Now here's what goes on in chapter 9. And you're going to have to read it carefully because But in Acts chapter 9, picking it up at verse 4, he's on his way to Damascus, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? Now, let me tell you something. When Paul said, Who art thou, Lord? He did not get saved. Okay? The reason not to say, didn't you just say when you called Jesus Lord and say, yes, you've got to know who Jesus you're talking to. You can't say you knew who it was when you say, who are you? You say, why are you calling the Lord? Because he knocked him on his belt and blinded him. Well, that's why. And in those days, you know, if somebody had more strength than you and more power than you, you called them Lord. In our day, we call them sir.
Yeah.
You know, and just kind of you'll get on earth and 800 pounds real sleep anywhere you want to.
Right.
And the same thing is true. I mean, if somebody walks in here and just literally blinds you and knocks you down, just you say, if you were in the forest, you say, why are you here? You say, who are you, sir? And who are you? You say, well, you get saved. Paul did not get saved when he said, who art thou, Lord? He was addressing somebody who had the power that he knew it to knock him down to go road and blind him. All right? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to get against the bricks. And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? That is when he got saved. That is when Paul got saved. When he confessed, now who is he calling Lord? He is calling Jesus Lord.
Okay.
You want to see the same thing happen in Acts chapter 10? When Cornelius is praying in verse 4, it says, when he looked on him, this angel shows up. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is this, Lord? Well, he might call that angel Lord like he was confessing the Lord. Isn't that dude had more strength than him? So a man doesn't get saved when he just calls somebody that's got more power than him, Lord. But when he calls Jesus Lord, Paul had the opportunity on the road to Damascus to accept or reject Jesus Christ. I personally believe that if he rejected Christ, I think God would do it. I just think he was. I think God was just set up to what he was doing. And I didn't give him an opportunity. And I think probably he said, you know, I mean, he had a chance here. Didn't he hate Jesus and everything he said for him? What did he even say? I went out there to persecute the ones called in this name. When he found out that was Jesus, he should have said, man, I've been waiting for a chance. Just get my eyes back, man. I've been waiting for a chance to do it. You know what he said? He said, Lord, what's your name? And so he confessed Jesus is Lord, he got saved. All right, now look back in your Bible. If you didn't read it, verse 4, and your pastor reads verses 4, 5, and 6,
oh, Lord.
He fell to the ground, heard a voice say to him, Paul, Paul, why did you persecute me? Verse 5, who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Never forget to call on Jesus this way. So you know who didn't get saved as an international person? So I think afterwards, we've got a man who confesses Jesus as Lord and gets saved. You've got a man here, that one, who does not confess Jesus as Lord. All right. All right, let's look at I'm going to erase something. Now here, I keep repeating this, but I'm trying to drive a point home. Do you notice what's being said? The reliability of Scripture, the accuracy of Scripture, the ascension of Jesus Christ, the virgin birth, the sonship, his kingdom, salvation, all salvation. I'll bet you I'll guarantee every Catholic country you know that Paul was saying. All right, look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. And it says this in verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We've read ourselves more accurately and more reliable than even in time demonstrated. And whom we have redemption, no blood. Yeah, I would give you an argument. Oh, hey, I can still, well, the blood is still in Romans chapter 5, verse 5. That's right.
Yeah.
But if you can find the 20 times there, I can find the 21 times here. See what I'm saying?
Right.
If you can find the book there, I can find it more times here. I'm telling you that King James Bible is stronger on every Bible doctrine there is than New International, New American Standard, New King James, New Scofield, or anything else. All right? Now, what about New Scofield? Move on. 1 Timothy chapter 3. I was saying, if I can do that. In Genesis, for Genesis.
Yeah. After that,
this one is actually loved only. I say that'll be a little bit here, so you'll be part of it.
Yeah.
Oh, look at Buck Robinson, you know, when he got saved, he talked for the list, he's a great man, green preacher. And he said, the night he got saved is what opened this meeting. And I was saying, Terry does. And he was just a gambler and a fighter. And he said, he said he was standing there during the petition. And he saw this preacher that he was walking around, you know. And he said, when he saw this preacher come back this way with his hand on his gun, he said, that preacher doesn't fail, don't you? And he was right about that time, some little old woman that walked down the bank, decided to fell on her knees, grab a hold of his arm, and said, God, please save this wretched young man. And he said he got up to leave, and he hit the house, he turned the wrong direction.
Oh, no.
And he said he hit the altar and he got saved. He said, man, he said that morning, he said, all the angels was having strawberry and whipped cream. And he said, on the way home from the meeting, he said, the devil came up beside him and said, honey, you know you made me. He said, right there, I fell out with the devil. Well, you know something? There's somebody tonight with blood across. Yeah, right there, I fell out with that book. When he came up to me and said, you're not worried about the Bible, what did John MacArthur preach about the Bible?
Yeah.
He doesn't tell anyone to go over outside the Bible. I wonder if what did he preach about the Bible? Yeah, dude. Because of blood. Alright? We're looking right now at the single greatest verse on the incarnation of God in the flesh. Your Bible says this, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God, who? God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto Gentiles, believe God in the world, receive us into glory. And what they did is they take the word God out of that verse. And you know what that verse is? That verse is going to be that Jesus was God. Who was that upset? Well, Jacob, did that upset me? If I was Jacob, I would like to hear Jesus Christ called God. So I like to put the verse down and didn't say it. Verse 16, behold all questions. Mystery of godliness is great. He appeared in the body, authenticated by the Spirit, seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on the world, was taken up in glory. But he works. Who works? We're Jesus. But say not, we should know it's Jesus talking about. And so they all say he or he who. Alright? They don't say God. What? That is the greatest. That is the greatest perseverance. All the deity of Christ. I don't want to hear how you find the deity of Christ someplace else. Because if you can find it 10 times in yours, I'll find it 11 in mine. Listen, I mean, back for back, point for point, quote for quote, and you didn't probably dump these guys down there and die. All right, the next one, you're up to something else, if it's okay enough. The next one is 2 Timothy. 3:16. Now, in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is given by the permission of God, is profitable for doctrine, for proof, for instruction, righteousness. The New International Book 10 here. But the New Version, when they don't say all scripture is given by the permission of God, they say all inspired scripture is given by God.
Yeah.
So what they do, basically, in the same council that which scriptures in was inspired scriptures because it's possible for doctrine for proof for instruction of righteousness, but the uninspired scriptures was in Protestant drove getting messed up. Alright? So that's why a fundamentalist has the same conviction that a Mormon has.
Yeah.
Most fundamentalists are Mormons. What I mean is this, a Mormon, you ask a Mormon, from a King James Bible, say, is this the word of God? Do a Mormon answer it? A Mormon answer is, that is the word of God in as much as every place that is accurately translated. That's what a Mormon, the Old Testament, not the Bible. He says where it is accurately translated, it is the word of God. Where it is not accurately translated, it is not the word of God. That's exactly what the Independent Baptist. That's exactly what Gregory Bob Jones. That's exactly what most of these Bible colleges and Bible universities are put around across the country. People that do not believe that all scriptures are the inspiration of God. You know, I kind of like it. These guys all say, no, that's what no God breathed. The problem is these guys think God's got that, right? Right, you see, you have a problem is they will argue that. You know, they'll say, well, you know, the inspired scripture is given for prophets. So what are we going to do? Well, we're just get a committee together and we'll all decide what we feel is inspired and what we feel is not inspired. Alright? There's still some separation of men and boys. First John chapter 5 and verse 7. Again, this is the single greatest verse of the Trinity.
Amen.
You won't find another verse that even approaches. I will say again by the Trinity. I said you won't find the true text on the Trinity in First John chapter 5 verse 7. Alright? Now, since Acts chapter 8, they learned something. They learned that John ought to take a verse out and leave a hole. So you don't just have a verse number in there. And what the preacher had to told you is that most of these verses that are messed with, what these guys do is, you know, in the King James Bible, you've got verse 5, verse 6, verse 7. You know what these guys do? In verse 5, 6, 7, 8, you can't find the verses. And if I'm not mistaken, in 1 John, which is in that one, we've got the verses. Okay, this is all paragraph. And I think it's more than 10, let me check it out. One of these.
For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word,
and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And then verse 7, verse 8, and there are three characteristics in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. All right, let me read you this one, because if I'm not mistaken, it's hard enough to get one. Verse 6, read it here. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with the water only, but with the water and the blood. That's the end of verse 6. Verse 7, and it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is the truth. That's the end of verse 7. Verse 8, for there are three that bear witness, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three are in agreement. Now, a couple things you want to notice. Number one, you notice you took verse 7 right now, but verse 6, and make the last part of verse 6, verse 7, it is amazing that in stealing a word, they said, and the Spirit bears witness, because the Spirit is the truth. They're talking about the truth in the very verse they spoke verse 7. The Lord can read that one. Now we can get verse 6, and officially verse 6, 7, 8. Verse 6, this is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. You do not come by water only, but by water and blood. It is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. Verse 7. For there are three that testify. Verse 8. The Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are agreeing. Now, you notice, the translators of the New International Version and the translators of the New American Standard Version cannot agree on what verse 7 should say. The only thing they can agree on is Mr. King James Bibleism. The only thing they can agree on is that there should not be a verse on the Trinity. Right? They can agree on that, but they can't agree on how to get rid of it. So one guy split verse 6, and one guy split verse 8. Now, we'll give you the manuscript on this one. Somebody says, well, gee, it isn't in the manuscript, is it? Not enough for many. Let's stay put. It's in three manuscripts, R, F, M, and Q. It's also in manuscript 34, 51, 88, 99, 105, 110, 162, 173, 181, 190, 193, 219, 220, 221, 228, 429, 635, 636, and 918. So that's the manuscript that goes in, but that's not where it stops. It's also in over, well, first off, you know what lectionary is? Alright? Take a song. Now, in the back of all song books, let's just go back to, let's go back to number 547. Now, what you're looking at on the top of the page, see where it says selections from Scripture? Alright, what you're looking at is tradition. You want this to be your music. Right? I'll bet your church has never seen that. You know why you want to use these? Because you've got a Bible. But you never realize that in the early days, not everybody had a Bible. So because no one had a Bible, when they wrote a song book, they put portions of Scripture in the back. And what they put in the back was they put select portions of Scripture that dealt with doctrine. You're going to find anything in here on 1 Chronicles, okay? But you're going to find stuff on the deity of Christ. You're going to find stuff on the virgin birth. You're going to find stuff on the ascension. You're going to find stuff on the crucifixion. What that is, you go to the church. Right, let's just say none of you had a Bible. If none of you had a Bible, let's just say just the pastor had a Bible. what you would do is you'd stand up and say, turn to your songbook to number 527. Number 527 in this songbook says the crucifixion, John 19, verses 1 through 6, and also verses 15 through 19. And then says, but then Pilate therefore took Jesus from the church and told him to plant a crown of thorns for those dead, and they throw him from the road and set hail to the Jews, and they swore with their hands. And what that does is that quotes the Bible. Alright? Now, again, in the back of a lectionary, or in the lectionary, in the back of the stone book, you're going to deal with doctrine. What are we looking at here? Okay? Just on that page. The resurrected Christ, doctrine. The Great Commission, doctrine. All sin, doctrine. The next page. No condemnation, no separation. How to be saved, consecration. The judgment seat of Christ, that's the first act of faith. The new birth, heavenly mansion, the Holy Spirit, the vine and grace. You notice that everything in here is mainly doctrine. So if you've got your doctrine, you didn't get a Bible. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7 is quoted or found printed in 60 lectionaries. 60. You say, well, what is West out for it? And what did the New Translation, the New Bible do with that? They ignored it. They said, well, we don't care. Why? Well, because it stands for the King James Bible, that's why. If it stands for the King James Bible, they're not going back up. I mentioned to you the other night, I think maybe it was last night, that it was quoted by early church fathers. Here are some of the early Christian preachers that quoted it. Virgilius.
Salvation. What it does say is you lose your rewards.
And I'm sorry to say, but many of our great scholars and many of our great preachers who have removed verses and removed words, you see, you have to understand. See, you and me, you and I might disagree on whether it's proper translation, but when you stand against the Word of God and when you change a word, it is recorded in heaven, and if you did get anything, if God begins to diminish your reward and your part is taken out, like this. I got saved. God wrote this. Sam Gibbons. He wrote that book of love. Now, let's say I did something good. Let somebody Christ, got no Christian Christ. I'll just say that I'm going to market these things up.
Publishing.
My dear old brother, nobody proves that's a brother.
Amen, brother.
I saw a thing where it said it was a Catholic thing, and what they had they called King Publications, and then stood for Thomas A. Nelson. All right, and in this Thomas A. Nelson signed this angel thing where they're talking about our blessed Holy Mother Mary, the Virgin, all this other stuff. Now, I have heard, I'll give you this point. I've heard Thomas Nelson, the Bible writer, say, that ain't the same Thomas Nelson.
Yeah, that's right. Say that. Yeah.
Oh, do you ever see science fiction? Mm-hmm. You got science fiction from right there. But you see them? Which one? The one from Berlin and the one from Hell. Hell? There are two science fictions. For years, we've seen science fiction. They're both from Pennsylvania. But because they're both from Pennsylvania, somebody there won't be the state of Vermont. So one of them now is called Snyder's of Berlin, Pennsylvania. And the other is called Snyder's of Hamilton. And it's one of the three of Berlin, Pennsylvania. What I'm saying is, one didn't want to be mistaken for the other. If I was Thomas Nelson, if this is true, that there are two Thomas Nelson, Thomas and brother, I'll guarantee you I'd be good to somebody on main chain.
Yeah.
Alright? I personally do not believe that. I believe that Thomas A. Nelson is just like 100 dude, wherever he is or whoever he is, he may be down with the rest of the folks. And I don't believe that there are two different entities. But if they are, that is someone. Listen, if I was a Protestant publisher, and my name was Thomas A. Nelson, and there was a Thomas A. Nelson publishing stuff at Old Catholic Church, I'd guarantee you I'd change somebody's name.
Yeah, right.
I'd change the standard publication. Right now, someone say, well, hey, look, I got a new Soviet reference for the Bible. You got a new Soviet reference for it. Now, what I got here is probably the single, don't put my first name in my name, but
thank you,
please. There's nobody came with more than 560 people. But no, get that off the building. Yeah. This is the new Sophie line, right? Now, this is a double line, all right? There's probably nothing more dishonest than this movie might be right here. I mean, this is now right there. You know what this claims to be? This claims to be an international version. You wouldn't pick that up. You know what you're getting? You know, you're not getting a King James Bible. You know what I'm saying? You said, I'm not getting a King James Bible. I'm getting an international version. You go here. Now, this movie on you. The new King James Version. That's a common job. This little crooked. Oh, there it is, boy. It's crooked. Alright, this is the New American Standard Bible, New American Standard Version. But they call it King James Version, they always call it the Bible.
Yeah.
Anyway, so if you buy this, you know you're not getting a King James Bible. Right? You know that. But if there was people, including the pastor years ago, got this, they could have been a King James Bible, right?
Absolutely right, bro.
Oh, that was a King James Bible.
That's right.
Now I'm telling you tonight that this is not only not a King James Bible, this is even a Scorpio Bible.
Amen.
This is a historical device. See, I spoke to them and they take them up right now. They're probably facing out, and I'll show you why in a minute. First reason I say this is not a King James Bible. Look, I just flipped it over. I have no reference page, right? In this column, the very first reference is KJV, defined. Okay, here it is, Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 18. Then says they come and let us devise plots against Jeremiah. And they took the word plot, they took the word devices, and put the word plot in it. That's what the King James reading the text in the margin. This, on this page, more reference to that. KJP, plural. KJP, say. KJP, produce. KJP, open. KJP, prevention. KJP, tribes. KJP, the reins of the heart. KJP, man. KJP, wherefore. My friend, this is the King James Bible. This is the Soviet reference Bible. It's got the KJ green here. It doesn't have to read me in text. Don't tell me, President, I've got the reading in the market. I don't work in the market.
Amen.
You see, this is, your problem is, you got broken in our King James Bible. Because you got broken in our King James Bible, you can read this and say, well, it's still being changed. Now, I want to tell you something, guys. You get you a brand new convert with just a little skepticism, and he will buy your heart. Now, I'll look at this stuff. Let's go to a Bible. Alright. I'll ask the preacher to come up. We're going down. And I will show you some major problems right here in this verse. It says this, chapter 8, verse 12. So when the believed Philip, preaching things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Alright? Beside the word baptized in that verse, it's the word two. And in that two, that tells you there's a note on that verse, the final page. Alright, and I know that's three paragraphs. I'm going to read just the third paragraph. I want you to pick up what this thing says. Baptism has, since the apostolic age, been practiced by every major group in the Christian church and in Protestant communities. If you're not Protestant, what are you?
Catholic.
They just said Christian and Protestant. What they just said? They just said it was a Christian church. They didn't say Protestant churches. They said Protestant communities. These guys weren't admitted to be not a Catholic, your church. So what they basically said was the Roman Catholic Church and Protestant Church. Communion. All right. Is this. It is recognized as one of two sacraments. You who are Roman Catholics know that sacraments is saving grace. In this book, I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, it talks about the Lord's Supper. And it says that the Lord's Supper is a sacrament. Okay? So this book, New Schofield, says that the Lord's Supper is a sacrament and baptism is a sacrament. Check this out. Well, here it is. It is recognized as one of two sacraments, the other being the Lord's Supper. I don't recognize any sacrament. Amen. When I'm in my church back home, if I'm on the road, I take the Lord's Supper, you know what I just did? I just ate some unleavened bread, some grape juice, and I didn't get saved. Okay? And when I got baptized, I got all wet, but I didn't get saved. Yeah. I was saved from God the Lord. Check this out. Since early in the church's history, three different modes of baptism have been used. Aspersion, parentheses, sprinkling. Effusion, parentheses, pouring. And immersion, parentheses, dipping. Here's not one person going to say where they use it. They just said the three ways to baptize. Sprinkling, pouring, and immersion. People, everybody got baptized in the New Testament, they got saved, went under water. Now that is the note on Acts chapter 8 and verse 12 in a New Scopio reference Bible. The reason I say that this is not a Scopio reference Bible is this. Now, I preach on an old Schofield Bible. I don't care for the notes that were in there. Okay? I don't even read Schofield's notes. Somebody points out, I've been reading one for 19 years. Somebody pointed out the note the other day and said, this is no character. I said, well, you're right. Well, that's the first time I've seen it in 19 years. I don't read the stuff. There's some things about the format that I like, but I don't care about Schofield's notes. Now, I'm going to ask the preacher to read Schofield, C.I. Schofield, his notes on Acts chapter 8, verse 12. Now, understand, of course, that Schofield died, I think, around 1945. That one there came out in 1909, and then 1917. That's 1917 edition. Then he died around, I think, 1925. All right? This was brought out around 1966. Now, unless we have very select resurrection, and you don't see conversation, ever. See, I still feel TV. They claim he's together for this book. This is in 1956. That's about 40 years after he died. I ignore him. I read the Schofield note in Acts chapter 8, verse 12. As you say, you can't find it. The reason you can't find it is in 1956. For no righteous writ to you is never found in any old Schofield reference Bible that ever looked for it. That is not C.I. Schofield's note. Say, whose note is that? That is the note of the board of directors of the Schofield reference Bible, the new Schofield reference Bible. Now, we'll tell you, this book, these guys here believe the message. They believe the message. You know what the two magic words are in this verse? They know that one's magic. They know that when you say King James, it's magic. Everybody says, oh, yeah, I love it, King James. They know that this is the other magic word. Schofield. They know that when you put the name Schofield on, you sell it. Okay? Now, I'm going to say how pretty these guys have got. This one, I've got a Bible right in Schofield, one of the first editions that they brought out here about 2 years ago. On the back binding, it said, Schofield reference Bible. Alright? In fact, I don't know if it's not. It's worn off. Alright, the Schofield reference edition. Okay? And that was a Schofield Bible. That's an old Schofield Bible. It says Schofield. Schofield Bible for always King James Bibles. But the last and the last. You know what they did? See, the Schofield Bible correctors believe in the course. You know why? They divorced this from this. So I just picked up another white card from Schofield, second edition now. It doesn't say Schofield reference edition. It says, Schofield study system. Then under that, it just says KJP. You know why it says that? Because now if you get a Schofield reference study system, NNIV. You get a Schofield study system, and get a new N-A-S-B. You say, what did they do? They found out a way to triple sell the name Schofield. Most people, can I smell this? Yeah! That's how you smell it.
Good.
You say, you're not going to think, no, I think we've got to prove. You say, oh, you think they're a mistake? No, I'm not a mistake. I think there are some people who are mistakes. I think there's all kinds of people who are used to open the Bible that were a mistake. All right? I don't think the guys that produced it were a mistake. I think you're looking at dollar signs here. I think you're looking at bucks. You're looking at new money and bad money. All right? And that's a good one. Now, I'm going to do one more thing. Let's go. I'm going to tell you how to answer the unanswerable question. I taught for a number of years at college in Ohio, not college. And I had a young man in one of my classes who, I can say it, but he just really thought about it. He never said it. And he's not really been grounded in the King James Bible. He wasn't using anything else than the King. The college I taught him was King James too. And when I began to teach some of the things on the book, I mean, this guy just hung on every word. I mean, everything I said, that guy hung on, I'll tell you what. He wasn't wrong before, I hate to say this, but I became his Holy Spirit. I mean, I just, what Brother Kidd said, just, I didn't even walk away. And he called me and he said, I got a question here. He was going to give an answer. And he'd say, he comes by asking, what about this? So they showed me this mistake for this thing here. And I'll give an answer like I used to do. And one day, I got a phone call from him. At my house, I pick up the phone, he said, this is Seattle. He said, now, please understand, listen carefully when he comes. Listen to that word. My pastor Show me the contradiction. You tell me what on earth in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is going on in Christianity when church members have to show mistakes in their life about the pastor.
Yeah.
What kind of question did God give a man that when he tried to quote his people in the future believe that book, but he doesn't, he's got the story stating that book.
Wicked.
Yeah, wicked. Brother, wicked is the right. That man was wicked. And he said, my pastor showed me a contradiction in the Bible. He said, maybe you can give me the answer. I said, shoot. And he began to give me a contradiction. He got halfway through it, and I finished. I told God, and that's where the science stuff is. He said, yeah, that's right. He said, and you're clear with it. I said, yeah. He said, oh, then you got the answer. I said, no. So when I said no, I mean, just as you could feel the silence on the end of the other end of that life. When I he said, do you mean you don't have the answer? I said, no. So I said, I don't know the answer. And I could hear this. It was like out of the jar. I had this like 55 story tall plastic standing there to go to place. And I hear it. And it's one of the humans that you understand this was from, which was good, all right? You know, and as I was coming back out there, he said, this guy just could not believe. Not that, you know, when he was like, okay, if we don't have an answer for every question, you can't believe this. And I said, he's more than you. I said, I'll show you. I said, I'll tell you. I said, hey, why I don't have an answer. I said, there's one about three reasons. I said, reason number one is, I said, I have not grown up enough. I said, I may get the answer to that 10, 15, 20 years from now. I said, it may be that I have not grown up in the Lord. They have to merit the answer, to handle the answer from God hasn't given it to me. So I said, therefore, I said, that may be why I don't have the answer. I said, the second reason I may not have the answer is because God gave it to somebody else. This week, four days, we come to contradiction that a Christian showed me the Bible.
Yeah.
Right? It's a Christian. But it's a lost man.
Yeah.
And I think God wrote this with no problem text. I don't have the answer to those contradictions. God did. Okay? And so, it may be that when somebody asks me, or somebody might ask Dr. Ruffin a question, that he doesn't have an answer for, but they go to school and I had it and put it in writing. So I said, the second reason is that I may not have it, but somebody else does. I'll see if I can help God consolidate all the things for one guy. But, I said, and this is the third one, this is more understandable. I said, you know, you're straight. And under no circumstance, no matter how long we're all saved, no matter how smart we all are, God is going to give us all the answers. And I said, the reason that God is not going to give us all the answers is because the day he gives us all the answers is the day we start walking on sight.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, he gives us all the answers when we walk on sight because we know it. But I said, if he leaves just a few of them to where we just can't quite understand them or explain them.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
That's good.
And that which is unfaith is sin. Now, immediately, he perceived how precarious that stand is. Because he said it. You know, what I'm saying is, the bottom line is, when we're really back and forth, doing this on a question that we can't answer, we're saying, well, I can show our translations, I can show Easter's proper, I can show 1 John 1, 1 John 5, 7, 1, and there. I can show you Acts chapter 8, verse 27, and I can split, but if I can't answer that question you asked me, I'll have to take it by faith that the King James Bible is perfect. What a dangerous man. And he says, well, then they promised to believe in his mass, right? I said, if they ever say that, I said, you asked them one question. He said, what? I said, ask them if they believe the originals are perfect. He said, well, there aren't any originals around. I said, I know. He said, but they believe they're perfect. I said, on what?
Yeah.
So, whoa. And I'd rather put my faith in a book that I can give you 99 out of 100 answers for. Alright, I'm going to put my faith in this book that I can hold in my hand, then put some blind faith in an unseen book that nobody put their hands on.
Amen.
Okay? So if anybody knocks our faith, you knock their faith. Okay? And that's just where it is. So, I will say right now, it's not Sam Gibb or Pete Ruffin or anybody else that's ever going to have all of the answers to all of the questions or all of the contradictions. And if you want all the answers, you are a stinking, lazy bum. Okay? You know why? You're one of those people that's going to read all the books on soul before you go soul with it. You're one of those people who has all the answers before you can ever going to believe. But basically, what you're looking for is an excuse to do nothing. That's basically what you're doing. And as long as you can pop off a question and not get an answer, you can sit in your home and study and study and study, let the world go to hell and not live like a Christian and not glorify the Creator, because you can just say, well, I'm just going to get all the answers, but ain't nobody ever going to get all the answers. Not me, not any man that walks this earth. No one is going to get all the answers. God will give to you, I don't care how simple or how hard. You can get so much out, I can answer. You can't get so much out, all the answers. Because then it becomes silent. So what I was going to give you is that I believe the King James Bible. Amen. It is the Word of God. Let go of all the things I showed you. Live by faith.
Amen.
I concerned all the things. I got a book that's going to be published. Got 62 questions. Everything from stuff I showed you, like how you may use other versions, to what about my alma mater, our King James Bible Church, Twitter, all that stuff. But I'm telling you that somebody's going to walk in and stump me with a question that I can't answer. And if they're going to use that one stupid, stinking, old, fallible man's failure to answer one stinking question as an excuse to not believe God's book is perfect, good for them. I'm telling you, I believe it by faith. In the areas that I just say, y'all don't know why you did that. I think you could have granted it this way. Boy, I wonder about the numbering there. My God, I don't accept the standard answer on this contradiction. I don't understand that, God. Well, I'm going to tell you something, God. Every time you brought it up, I've seen you, that's in the right path over center field fence, 450 yards, and it was still going where it cleared the park line. So when I see you come with a batter's box, I never worry.
Amen.
Right. I never worry. Don't try to do it, do it before going wrong. So, this book is perfect. This book is a new social reference version. This book is not perfect. This is not the words of God. This book is an American Standard Version. This book is not perfect. This book is not the Word of God. This book is an international version. This book is not perfect. It has mistakes in it. It is not the Word of God. This book is a New King James Version. This book has mistakes in it. This book is not the Word of God. I'll go so far as to say that it's better than these two. Alright? I'll go so far as to say it's better than these two. It will have some verses in it. These two will not. But I'm telling you that this is not perfect. That has mistakes in it, that it feels the deity of Christ in these four verses that we looked at. I don't like it. It's no good. It's corrupted. It's a bad tree. It's out of Alexandria as far as its philosophy. But I'm saying this King James Bible right here is the Word and the Word of God. Alright? My advice is read it. When you get done, read it again. When you get done, read it again. When you get done, read it again. Read it until you die when the Lord takes us home. You don't have to, you got a pulse tonight, you got no excuse for not being that time.
Amen.
All right, let's have a word of prayer. There you go. Lord Jesus, before we go. Wow.